Welcome to the Art and Science of Difficult Conversations. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lucy, and we love having difficult conversations.
That's right. And each week, we'll either share a tip, hear how others have gotten better at difficult conversations, or demonstrate common difficult conversations and what to do and what not to do.
Let's get into it.
Hey, y'all. In today's episode, I want to focus on something that we hear a lot about in trainings around active listening, communication skills. There's a lot of talk about doing reflections and summaries and reflecting back the feelings. You know, and lots of seminars and training will teach you how to do that stuff. And I'll talk about that at some point too. What I want to focus on today is, what are you actually listening for with these hard conversations? What are the specific things that you are trying to hear for so that you can address them? And the biggest thing for you to consider is, a lot of times in hard conversations at work or in personal life, there's something that's being not talked about. There's some kind of unspoken level of thing. And your goal is to actually bring it into the open. The more you can bring it into the open, the easier it is for you to actually meet that need so that you can actually have the real conversation that's happening about fear or whatever it is. And so there's a few different categories of things you're actually looking for. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run through those categories, and I'm going to give you some examples of each of those categories and things you can be thinking about as you're doing it. So the first thing you're really listening for is emotions. And when I say emotions, I don't mean what they're showing you. If they're showing you kind of anger, I want you to think about, what are these strong base emotions that are really going on? Because whatever logic they're trying to throw at you, there's some kind of emotion going on down there. There's either fear or anxiety or anger, something going on. What you want to do is really listen for, is there actually a fear of something that they're talking about or showing? The more you can recognize that, the more you can effectively respond, because you can reflect that, you can summarize that, you can label it. And the more you can do that accurately, the more they're going to feel seen and heard. So that reduces that lowers their defenses. Secondly, you want to think about their point of view of the world. What is their worldview? Do they see the world in terms of, they think everything is fair, they want to make sure everything is equal, or do they see the world as unfair, so they're just trying to protect themselves? How are they seeing the world and relationships in general? Third thing is values. What is important to them? What are the principles and beliefs that guide their decision making? And when they keep pushing back against stuff, what are they really talking about? It's similar to fairness or integrity. Like, do they believe that teamwork is super important in the world? Do they believe that collaboration is super important? Number four, what you're listening for is, what are their interests and motivations? What motivates them? What are their personal or career aspirations, especially if you're in a career discussion with them, or a work discussion with them? What do they care about? What are they looking to grow in? What are they trying to avoid? Are they trying to avoid risk? Are they trying to avoid harm to themselves? Or are they looking to get more personal accolades? What are they trying to get at, really? And then the last thing is opportunities to strengthen the relationship. Are there any unmet needs that they have, that there are opportunities where you can help them? You can jump in and help them meet their needs, so that you are seen as collaborative, that you are seen as you want to help them, something that may not even be part of the normal conversation. So let me jump into some examples to make this really come to life. So for example, thinking about emotions. Let's say you're in a team meeting and one of your coworkers is really opposed to some kind of project proposal that you're trying to do. You're listening, and then when they start talking about timelines and resources, you notice that their voice gets higher and tighter, they start talking faster, you're going to notice that you're seeing some kind of sense of fear or anxiety, either of, you know, overcommitment or meeting expectations. If it's a meeting, you might not want to talk about their emotions because they might want to protect themselves. But if you're one-to-one, that would be a fantastic time to talk about that and say, listen, I'm noticing something when we talk about the timelines, when we talk about resources, what's going on for you? That's a great way. You could even also just label it. You know, I'm noticing some anxiety about this project proposal? What's going on for you? You know, by recognizing the emotions, you can address that directly. And so you can see what it exactly they're worried about and address that. For the next one, for point of view, let's say that you are in a negotiation to raise your prices with another organization. The other organization is pushing back. They're really against it. They're arguing with you. And they keep saying the words, listen, that's not fair market value. It's reasonable to assume perhaps that their perspective is really about fairness. How is it fair to either them or their company or whatever they're concerned about? So you can ask about that. You can just even comment on that. You know, it seems like fairness is really important to you. The more you can bring that up explicitly, the more you can have a discussion about fairness and figuring out what is fair to them, define it for them explicitly. That way you can acknowledge their viewpoint, and then maybe you can even get into some important data that might lead to that good agreement. What about the third one, values? Let's imagine that you are a company owner. You own a company and you need to start outsourcing some work to external vendors just because there's not enough capacity on your team. Let's say somebody on your team is like, wait a minute. We don't need to outsource anything. We don't need anybody outside work. We can handle it. You know, we have a lot. That's going to mess up our team. That's going to mess up my job security. If they're talking like that, it sounds a little bit like they really care about community. They care about stability of their own job. And so those are really things that are important to them. So how can you start addressing that? How can you start talking about that and talk about how can you preserve community and stability for that person? Similarly, let's think about interests and motivations, thinking about what motivates them, what are they trying to avoid. And you could even think about, let's say you're doing a performance evaluation with an employee of yours. And they say, you know, the tasks you have me working on are just super routine. They're super boring. Just need some more creativity. I just need some more creativity in the work that I'm doing. That one's really a lot more obvious, right? They're just thinking about they want more creative expression. They don't want to have that monotonous routine in their work, which is fair. Lots of people feel like that. Or some people just don't want that creativity. They want that monotony. They want to just do their job, do that data entry, or do whatever routine task you have them doing, and then they just want to go home and forget about work. You want to explore that either way. You want to figure out what it is that they are trying to say, what is it they want, and then how can you align stuff to their motivations. And the last one is the opportunities to strengthen that relationship, listening for things that you could do to help them, even if it's not related to your conversation, right? So let's say you are trying to work with a colleague in a different department, a coworker, around tasks on this project that you're working on, and they keep struggling with it. They keep pushing back against deadlines. And so you're talking with them and you're just, you know, having a water cooler chat, and they start mentioning briefly, like, they're struggling to balance work and personal development goals. Like, they're learning a new language. Maybe you have a skill set that can help them. Maybe you have this really cool time management tool or technique that they've never heard of. Maybe you can help them with flexibility around the project to help them do that stuff. Or maybe you know somebody that can teach new languages or work with them on new languages. Those are kind of things that you can help with if you listen for that opportunity. So that helps address their media concern. But the more you can strengthen that relational bond by showing empathy, understanding, helping them meet their goals, the more they're going to be willing to help you. So those are the big main things you're really listening for: emotions, their point of view of the world, values, what's important to them, their interests and motivations, and opportunities to strengthen the relationship. The more you can focus on those, the more you'll be able to strengthen your relationship and move past some of the blocks that you typically get in hard conversations. Hopefully that was helpful. Hopefully those examples made sense to you. I'd love to hear what you thought. So please, you can email me, you can respond on my LinkedIn, you can post on this, you can write comments on this post, but please like and subscribe, because next week we're actually going to do a role play. Lucia and I are going to role play a conversation with a parent who needs additional care, but is pushing back against that. And so we're going to go through that, which is a real good example of how do you listen for what real concerns are. See you next week.